Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Saturday, the 15th of January, 2022. Today, COVID testing fraud, plus the latest as Winter Storm Izzy is on the move, and more. Here are some of the top headlines. An undersea volcano has erupted near the South Pacific country of Tonga. Large waves slammed ashore, but there were no immediate reports of injuries. Former NFL player Junior Seve has been found dead in a Kansas federal prison. The American Samoa native was a star defensive tackle at the University of Oregon before several seasons in the NFL. Seve was 43. And Bob Saget was remembered yesterday during a private memorial service for family and friends in Los Angeles. Attendees included a number of his Full House co-stars like John Stamos and Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Saget died this week at the age of 65. Federal authorities have begun investigating a nationwide coronavirus testing company on suspicion of violations to the Unfair Trade Practices Act. The Center for COVID Control runs testing sites around the country, often out of sheds and mobile storage units. But several people filed complaints to the Oregon Justice Department last fall, and others have contacted USA Today expressing concerns about the safety and legitimacy of the sites. One said they were given a test labeled as having expired months before, and others said they never received test results at all. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, is now centering the probe on the company's main lab. The agency said it conducted surveys at multiple temporary Center for COVID testing sites and the so-called main laboratory in November and December. It found non-compliance with a number of standards affecting more than 400,000 tests. The report found that the lab did not have appropriate and sufficient equipment and did not comply with reporting requirements, while also not getting a required state lab license. The news comes as federal and state officials continue to warn against fraudulent pop-up testing sites and take-home test scams around the country. Testing has been hard to come by in recent weeks and is expensive for many Americans. But President Joe Biden said this week that the government will soon be sending out 1 billion at-home tests to Americans.
Right now, both vaccinated and unvaccinated people are testing positive. But what happens after that could not be more different. Next week, we'll announce how we are making high-quality masks available to the American people for free. I know we all wish that we could finally be done with wearing masks. I get it. But they're a really important tool to stop the spread, especially of a highly transmittable Omicron variant. So please, please wear the mask. Second, testing. We're seeing real improvement in testing. This month, it's estimated that we will hit approximately 15 million tests a day. And we'll have over 375 million at-home rapid tests in January alone. That's a huge leap. We're on track to roll out a website next week where you can order free tests shipped to your home. And in addition to the 500 million, half a billion tests that are in the process of being acquired to ship to you homes for free, today I'm directing my team to procure an additional 500 million more tests to distribute for free. That means 1 billion tests in total.
Beginning today, private health insurers will also be required to cover up to 8 at-home COVID-19 tests per month for people on their plans. New coronavirus cases ticked down slightly for the second time this week. The U.S. reported some 5.51 million cases in the week ending Thursday, down from a revised 5.53 million in the week ending on Wednesday. Winter Storm Izzy dropped more than a foot of snow in parts of the Midwest yesterday, and today it's on the move for the South. The storm is expected to bring ice and snow to places like Memphis, Nashville, Charlotte, and Atlanta today into tomorrow, and could drop the first measurable snow in Atlanta in 4 years. It's then expected to twist north toward the Mid-Atlantic and New England tomorrow into Monday. And it could bring major travel disruptions for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. For all the latest, stay with usatoday.com/weather. Less than a month into 2022, we already have one of the hit games of the year. Brett Molina breaks down Wordle on the Talking Tech podcast.
The goal is to guess the five-letter word of the day in six tries. It has kind of a layout of squares, kind of like a Wheel of Fortune-y kind of vibe to it. You basically have six rows of five-letter words, basically, and you have to try to guess each time. So you'll type in the five-letter word you think it is, and you'll work your way down. So as you make a guess, the letters flip over in different colors. If the letter's gray, that means that that letter isn't in the word. If it's yellow, the letter is in the word, but it's not in the right spot. If it's green, you got it exactly. So right letter, right spot. I talked about it being daily. They release a new puzzle every day. One of the big reasons it's taken off, though, is because of social media, specifically Twitter. They have this really cool share feature. And what you do is it copies the results of your puzzle and it presents it in those squares. So people will just see the colors of the squares without giving away what the word is. So you might see this grid of different squares, and you might see a row that's all green, which shows that you got the word right. But then you may have rows where you have a couple that are green or one that's yellow, just to show your process as far as how long it took you before you finally figured out what the word is.
You can find this full episode and more from Talking Tech wherever you get your audio. Novak Djokovic is back in migration detention. The tennis star's Australian immigration saga is changing every day. The latest twist came this week when his visa was again revoked by the government because he's unvaccinated for COVID-19 and also lied on an immigration form. He's now trying to avoid being deported, with his legal challenge moved to three judges of a higher court. That federal court hearing is set for tomorrow, just a day before the Australian Open begins. Djokovic initially had his visa revoked on arrival in Melbourne for breaking Australian border rules by not getting the vaccine. It was then restored this week by a judge on procedural grounds because he was not allowed to have a lawyer with him at the airport. But it was then revoked again later in the week. The NFL playoffs are here. Things kick off today with the AFC wildcard round. First up, the Las Vegas Raiders will take on the Cincinnati Bengals at 4:30 Eastern, followed by the New England Patriots and Buffalo Bills at 8:15. Tomorrow, it'll be the Philadelphia Eagles and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, followed by the San Francisco 49ers versus Dallas Cowboys and Pittsburgh Steelers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Then on Monday, the Arizona Cardinals will take on the Los Angeles Rams. For a full schedule and USA Today's NFL Writers Super Bowl picks, head to usatoday.com/sports. Thanks for listening to 5 Things. You can find us 7 mornings a week wherever you find your pods, and Shannon Green is back tomorrow with the Sunday edition. Thanks to PJ Elliott for his great work on the show, and I'm back Monday with more of 5 Things from USA Today.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.